My guest at this time is Colin Flaherty. He has held many titles in his life. He's a former speechwriter for the first black chair of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. He's been a radio host. He's a accomplished author, has won awards for spy novels, and he's the author most recently of a very much a nonfiction book entitled White Girl Bleed a Lot, The Return of Racial Violence. And Colin, thank you very much for being with us.
It's an honor to be here, Greg.
You make it very clear in this book you're not into this topic to try and work through the psychology of why this is happening or what the proposed solutions necessarily are. It's mainly about documenting just how frequent this usually mob violence is, but certainly racial violence is. What got you so interested on this topic that you decided to focus so much attention on it?
I got interested in it because I was doing a radio show at WDEL in Wilmington, Delaware, and I started hearing about all these, the newspapers were calling them flash mobs and teenagers, you know, walking around downtown Philadelphia. Happened over and over and over. I looked at YouTube, and what I saw on YouTube was totally different than the antiseptic version I read in the paper. What you saw on YouTube was a race riot, several of them. Large crowds of black people running down the streets of downtown Philadelphia, beating people up, hurting people very badly, pulling people out of cars, going into restaurants, stealing cell phones, destroying property. And then I realized it was happening all over the country, not just places like Philly, but in Baltimore, New York, and all these big, you know, big places. Small places like Peoria, Illinois, or places you wouldn't expect it, like Seattle, Portland. So I wrote the book for one reason, to convince the deniers that we have an epidemic of racial violence in this country, and we have to recognize it.
The very first sentence in your book, it's a paragraph all to its own, is racial violence is back. When did it come back, and what, if anything in particular, triggered it?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. Because I really, I don't know what triggered it. And one of the things I do in the book is I don't do explanations, I don't do solutions, I don't do apologies. I just say, hey, this is happening. And the reason I started just 2 or 3 years back is because I really didn't want to give the deniers a chance to say, Colin, your material is old. And there's so much fresh material out there happening all the time, happening like within the last couple of days. So I figure, well, I'll just start recently, and so I don't know what triggered it.
And one of the things that you mentioned in the book, and you quote leaders in the different cities for pointing this out, they do it kind of matter-of-factly. They simply say that this type of violence has been going on in the more ghetto areas of these major cities for a long time now, and it's only that the violence has spread to the more noticeable parts of the city, the more affluent parts of the city, that it's now an issue. Is that essentially correct?
Oh, that's what they said. The guy who I quoted saying that was Bobby Rush, former Black Panther leader who has the distinction of being the only person ever to beat Barack Obama in an election. And so what I took from, when I first heard that, I thought that it's happening a lot in the black community, and we're only paying attention to it now is because there's white victims. I kind of got irritated with that, and I said, hey, well, he's just excusing it. But then on the second thought, it kind of made me think, you know, this problem is 100 times worse than anybody's saying, and that's what Bobby Rush was saying.
The reaction to it is also a major part of this book. The media generally does not refer to race in their description of these incidents if they report on them at all. Even the victims, you talk about this in Philadelphia in particular, the victims are very squeamish to talk about the racial aspect here. So since there is a lot of black-on-black violence as well, is it easy to come to the conclusion that this is racial violence, or is this just people who want to hurt other people?
When I say racial violence, I'm really focusing on the criminals slash the predators, not the victims that much. And I'm not trying to get into the mind of the predators. I'm just saying when hundreds of black people march down the streets of Philly or Cleveland or New York or Boston, Peoria, Milwaukee, Seattle, Portland, 70 cities, when this happens over and over and over, hundreds of incidents in the last 2-3 years, and it is exclusively a black phenomena. That's why I call it a racial violence.
We've mentioned a couple times now you're not in the business of analyzing this, but the point that you put all this work into the book to document that this is happening, and this is the reaction of the law enforcement officials, sometimes the victims, people in the black community and so forth. What chord do you want this to strike? What do you want the reaction to be?
You know, people are so squeamish about talking about certain things about race. The psychiatrists say that we're only as sick as our secrets. And so I think one of the biggest secrets in this country that we can't talk about is this epidemic of racial violence, especially what I focus on is racial mob violence. And so what I'm hoping to do is just to push the envelope a little bit, let us talk about this a little more. I mean, Greg, if you and I pick up a newspaper, any daily paper, we will read in the course of 6 months hundreds of stories featuring black teachers, black caucuses, black police officers' unions, black students, black this. Many of these stories are written by members of the National Association of Black Journalists. Everything's taboo. Nothing's taboo except black violence. So I say we open it up a little bit.
Talk a little bit about a couple of these stories for folks who haven't read the book. Give an example of a story or two about what this is like, particularly for the victims, when groups of dozens, sometimes hundreds, I think there was even a couple stories, and there were up to 1,000 people were part of the mob.
Yeah, you know, how about the title of the book, White Girl Bleed a Lot? So some of this is on videotape in Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Now, Greg, maybe I don't get out enough. I did not know Milwaukee was a hotbed of racial violence. It is. Last July 4th, 50 to 100 black people looted a convenience store. This is all on videotape. They took with their candy and their stolen groceries and stolen candy in hand. They all went to a park 2 blocks away where they beat up and assaulted about 10 to 15 white kids. At one point, one of the predators is standing over a white girl, and she kind of motions to her friends and says, hey, look at this. And she said the quote, "White girl bleed a lot." Everybody laughed at that. This is happening all over the country.
Talking with Colin Flaherty, the book is White Girl Bleed a Lot, The Return of Racial Violence. And the media, as we've talked about a little bit in the past few minutes here, has been reluctant to talk about the racial component in some of these instances of mob violence. And I read about at least one incident where you were interviewed on a Chicago radio station that did not turn out so well. What is it, you mentioned before that folks are squeamish about this. What is it that they're hoping to avoid by not talking about the facts here?
They're hoping to avoid people like me asking one question. And the question is, after 50 years of affirmative action, racial quotas, preferential hiring, and all this other kind of race, all this race-conscious behavior, they don't want somebody like me to look at them and say, so how's that working out for you?
What other reactions have you gotten, both from those who don't want to hear it and those who do, if it is in fact what's happening?
The overwhelming reaction I get from white and black is relief. I can almost hear people when they talk to me or when they write to me. I get a lot of cops write to me. I hear a sigh going, oh, man, I'm glad somebody's writing about this. I get a lot of people. I get a lot of reaction from black people, from black leaders who are saying, man, I'm glad somebody's writing about this because white people have to get over it, that there's some really nasty stuff going out there that they have to recognize. You know, may I tell you the one thing that I'm really, really disappointed in writing this book? I'm disappointed in what I learned about the people who run our police departments. The cops on the beat are heroes. The chiefs are the ones, police chiefs are the ones who are minimizing, condoning, enabling, in one case, at least one case, lying about it.
Detail that a little more.
Chicago, Memorial Day, North Avenue Beach. Huge racial violence on the beach. 500 to 1,000 black people knocking people off bikes, stealing stuff, destroying property. Nasty scene, nasty. The police chief, the relatively new superintendent of police in Chicago, closed the beach with the consent of the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel. And they said, does this have anything to do with all the trouble that was at the beach? They said, no, there were no riots at the beach. We're closing it because it's too hot. The next day, and this is where the good part of the story, people who were at the beach and saw this started calling into talk radio. The talk radio station in Chicago, I think it's WSL there, they went and grabbed the 911 calls, and people put comments in the paper all saying the same thing, which is, you are not telling the truth. There is something really awful happening out there, and we want to know why you are so heavily invested in not telling us about it.
Colin, just a couple minutes left in our conversation here, and we haven't talked about this aspect of it yet, but I'm sure you've dealt with some of it. Folks could certainly look at the title and even read the book and come to the conclusion, well, why is he focusing only on violence perpetrated by black people? Obviously, there are criminals of all different races. Why limit it to that? What do you tell them?
Well, when people call me and say, ask that question, I say, if you have an example of white mobs or Asian mobs preying on helpless black people, a link or a video, if you have one of these that is not reported, please let me know, because this is so overwhelmingly a black phenomenon. And guess what? People know, black leaders know this. Black people know this. White people know this. You know who goes really crazy on this topic? It's not black people. It is white liberals. They're the ones who go nuts when I talk about this.
Well, a lot more discussion probably forthcoming on all of this, and we've just scratched the surface. Colin, thank you very much for being with us.
It's been an honor to be here, Greg.
Colin Flaherty is a former speechwriter for the first black head of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. He's an award-winning author. He's been a radio host, and he's the author most recently of White Girl Bleed a Lot, The Return of Racial Violence. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.